This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? My name's Chris Fairbanks.
My name is Karen Kilgariff.
I've never said my name is.
I know.
Oh, what am I, Eminem?
But here's the thing. Hi.
What? Who? My name? Huh? Chris Fairbanks.
Remember the power of Eminem? At the time when he came out, it was a white Dr. Dre approved rapper.
Yeah. Even the Beastie Boys didn't have that stamp. I would get excited when certain people would like the Beastie Boys, and then Eminem came along, and I was like, oh.
It's over. It's next level.
Do I still like him, though?
Eminem?
Yes, well, that's the question.
Here's the thing.
He made me like spaghetti again. He really did.
Spaghetti is one of the funniest words. It is. Barf or just eaten straight off the plate.
I am impressed with what he can do, but I never really liked Eminem because he's like, oh, I'm super serious, and I get mad at people.
He gets mad, and then he loves to talk about beating and killing his ex-partner,
right?
I don't love in terms of feeling
really
like things are reasonable.
He's got beating and killing ex-partner lyrics?
Yep.
Wow.
Several, and I'm not a fan, and I know that. So get with it.
Well, I like when he is mean to Ray Romano in whatever movie that was.
Welcome to Mooseport?
No, he was in several seasons of Northern Exposure. Welcome to News. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's a classic Ray Romano film.
Yeah, no. That's what everyone, that was on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Yes. It's kind of the movie people love to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Mooseport. What else is anything going on?
With my body, I'm glad you asked. I am riddled with unbridled pain, and I do not know why. I can go skateboarding now. I can fall on my fake hip. I went bowling for 5 games, and now I walk like John Wayne with heel implants. Did you know that's why he limped? He was self-conscious about that he wasn't tall, and he put big wedges in his boots.
Oh.
And that's why John Wayne limped.
You
like
said
that.
Heel implants, which is a different thing than putting lifts
he
in your shoes.
He had silicone, yes, hear no. me out. Silicone heel implants.
He has high heels in his own heels.
They didn't make them yet. He just used breasts and put them in his feet.
Weird 50s pointy breasts, so it was very painful.
And whenever he walked on set, they'd be like, here comes Jellyfoot.
Uh-oh, but I'm kind of attracted to the bottom of his feet.
Uh-oh. Let's build an airport.
Clear the set.
So I can masturbate.
To the Duke's feet. Everyone is a perv in Hollywood.
Oh, God, aren't they, though?
What are we talking about?
Sorry. I went bowling and I'm very sore, both shouldered, my hip, I'm walking ridiculous.
What I was going to say to you is that you talk about being in this physical pain.
Sure, I am.
Go on to then describe what is essentially an eighth grader's birthday party that you seem to need to participate in every weekend. Like, here's the thing. Anyone our age, or I'll say your age and then up to my age, that's what's going to happen. Bowling's hard work.
It is like a kettlebell workout.
It is.
And I was using a new heavy ball. Like, I'm actually trying to learn how to bowl where you spin it. And so I got a real ball that's weighted.
Yeah.
It's lopsided and it helps it spin.
Nice.
And I was starting to get the hang of it. So I'm like, let's bowl another game. First of all, I spent $100 on bowling. Remember?
It's not cheap.
When it was a quarter?
No, it's never been a quarter.
You jam your fingers in these municipal holes and then you go eat chicken wings with the same hand.
Yep. And then you go back and then you do some more.
I go back to complain that I have worms.
It is one of the dirtier pastimes.
It is. And my buddy Jim was like, everyone knows you eat with your left hand and bowl with your right. And I'm like, oh yeah, two hands, I forgot. Usually I wipe this one in cheesecloth and let it dangle uselessly.
Yeah, really. No one in my family knows this.
It is, yeah. I had a great time. I didn't bowl well because I'm trying to eat and learn this new style, but I am so sore.
And also because you have chicken fingers.
It's been too, yeah. Also, I have the fingers of a chicken.
Feathers.
And yeah, so that's all I did. I've been limping around.
That's good though.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like after 40, limping is a big part of life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a weekly occurrence. You can really look forward to it.
I've just been bragging about being back at 100% because I ran once and I've been able to sort of skateboard, but I went bowling and that made me bedridden. I really laid in bed the next day.
Well, that's fine though. But I mean, like, you can be back at 100%, but still like have things impact your body.
Yeah. It's there and it's happening. But a little ice and how about you? You ready for your big tour?
I am. I mean, I did some my sport, which is light shopping at Macy's today.
Sure. No. Well, you got it.
And I'm very sore. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is we had it down to such a science at the beginning of the year, the touring, that now when it comes up, I know how to pack the bag. I know that even though I want to take 20 things, I'm only going to wear 3. Like, I can kind of really do it pretty clean and clear cut. So, and I've been slowly preparing. So like, I weeks ago sent away for the body shaper that I needed, and weeks ago got the crimper that actually keeps my hair full on stage.
Right.
Doesn't get flat.
Yeah.
All the different tricks.
Yeah.
Show tricks, I call them.
Yeah, of course.
Stagecraft. And yeah, so I'm definitely excited.
Do you have a list? Before I travel, I just decided I'm going to consult a list.
Oh, that's
toiletry
smart.
Bag.
Yeah.
You know, underwear. Usually, all the underwear I possess now that's new, I've bought on the road.
Yeah.
Why pack underwear when you can just come back with it?
Well, and also, I go to pack underwear and then go, do I actually only have 6 working pair of underwear? Like, if I go on a 10-day trip, I'm already down 4. Like,
yeah.
It's strange discovering that stuff about, like, I will wear underwear till I'm like, is this from the 80s? It's just,
yeah.
I'm a grown woman. I should have nice underwear minimum at all times.
Yeah. I have a lot of, you know, weekend underwear.
Private. I call it the private collection, which means you're absolutely positive no one's ever going to look at it. And that's
the private collection. That makes it sound fancy.
Yep. You can make yourself feel better where it's actually like, I'm terribly alone.
Ooh.
With my private collection underwear.
But look now on my website for my lonely reserve. You too can have holes in the center of a butt cheek for no reason. What am I sitting on attacked?
What's happening?
Why do I have buttholes?
Why is it? Oh, it's for excrement.
Yes. Yes, the main one. But the there's main, all these main. New ones
there's
that
these
keep
other cloth
rearing
ones.
Their ugly, ugly whole rear heads.
Rearing their ugly rears. Come on. Force me into it.
You know I'm on board. we're beginning another Q&A episode because they're fun.
Yes.
They spark new stories and yes. they're interactive.
And you guys get to have a say. What's more fun than that in podcasting where you never get to have a say in what you listen to?
Right.
We say you do.
Yeah.
We say.
Who else out there promises yeah. that?
No one
yeah.
will talk to you but us.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to our thing. No one's left. They're listening right
yes,
now. Right?
Yes,
what
yes.
What am I saying?
No, don't even get up for that sandwich.
Don't get to put it down.
It's
no.
too late.
If you got any sandwich right this second, which one would it be? I'm starting this Q&A.
Oh,
my
yeah. own question. Ooh, right now?
Do you want me to answer?
Yes.
Because I just thought how delicious it would be to have a cream.
I love cream sandwiches.
Just heavy cream poured on wheat bread.
Oh, just like during the famine.
No, I was going to say a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
A plain cheese sandwich mm-hmm. on bread, maybe with a couple pickles on there, but
yeah.
it doesn't even have to be.
And you're not scared of a tuna melt.
I am. Hot tuna? No,
really?
Thank you. No, that,
I thought
that,
I've seen you eat tuna in front of me.
You've seen me eat tuna salad. I would never eat it heated up.
Oh, okay.
So I will enjoy a tuna salad sandwich.
Sure.
But if it's heated, I will leave that restaurant.
I like that just temperature can make it a salad.
Yes, because that's all the difference. I don't... Tuna... with mayonnaise in it should never be heated. That's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I suppose it is. If I really think about warm mayonnaise, I can probably... yeah, that'll ruin my
like
weekend.
It. I don't like it. What's your sandwich? Emergency sandwich in a moment.
I'm sorry, but it is a tuna melt.
Oh, that was your trying to give me your answer.
Yeah, I was trying to bring you over to the dark, warm side.
So sorry, I will not go to that fish side.
Oh, it's
hot fish.
And you know what? When someone does their... I had a roommate in Bend that used to steam his tuna just above the boiled water that was coming from the ramen that he is about to mix it in.
Oh.
And everyone complained about the smell of tuna. And I thought it was just, a reminded me of home.
It reminded you of your mama?
Reminded me of my mama's spaghetti.
And her cat food sandwiches. Oh. That guy, okay. A Cadillac SUV just peeled out from the light.
Yeah.
That's some nerd shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and now they're going slow.
Yeah, they're like...
He just wants to make sure he still has it.
He's like, look, I did buy a tan pearlescent Cadillac SUV, but I'm young inside, is what he was just, the message he was trying to
say. Yeah, but I've gone, I'm mid-block now, let's get old.
Let's calm it down. There's a crosswalk right up here by Cheetah's Strip Club. Let's calm it down.
You don't want to run over some Lady of the Night's child.
Please, no.
You know what I mean. The entertainer of the evening.
Yes, entertainer of the year. Usually, because that is one of the better strip clubs in town.
Oh, God, it's with great establishment. They shoot Comedy Central things there.
Of course
those
they do.
Those storytelling things happen on the strippery catwalk.
Well, because comedians love the idea that they can, quote unquote, get a stripper.
Right.
Which is like... I think kind of ironic.
Yeah. I think it's funny when anyone tries to connect comedy with sex having in any way.
Well, and also just that the reflection would be like, you're so sexy you told these stupid fucking self-indulgent jokes that a super hot woman who makes money being hot, she likes you.
Yeah.
Like that is the most self kind of congratulatory bullshit of all the self-congratulatory bullshit that comedy does. That's one of my least favorites.
Yeah, it's up there.
And there's a bunch of other stuff I don't like. There's also a bunch of other lame-o sexist bullshit that I don't like. Anyhow, let's not get into it. Steven,
yeah.
Let's have a first question. Please.
The April Society says, you can hear the sound of the ice cream man's truck steadily approaching from down the street. You make it outside just in time to flag him down. What do you buy?
See, I have a joke about this where my mom said the ice cream man only plays music when they're out of ice cream, which is just silly. You know, I thought that would be a good, but I'm boring when it comes to ice cream.
Okay.
I think that I will look for something that is kind of like a drumstick.
Sure.
Anything vanilla dipped in any kind of chocolate, any nuts involved. That's what I go for.
That's what you like?
Yeah, I don't go for these, you know, red, white, and blue rocket pops or whatever.
Ooh, that one's good.
I know, it's just not for me.
Okay, I mean, I'm with you in that when there's choices between, like, a fruit sour flavor and a chocolatey ice cream thing,
yeah,
I'll always also go for chocolatey ice cream, but mm-hmm. not vanilla coated in chocolate. That's not good enough for me. I need it to be chocolate through and through.
Yeah, we differ there. I don't really have a sweet tooth, or I've tried my, until it's in my mouth and I'm like, oh, you mean the best thing I've ever had in here? But I do crave often Snickers ice cream bars.
Those things are amazing.
I will go to a destination. I will leave my house. I will get in my car to go purchase one.
Well, what's cool about those is they really, it is just like eating a Snickers, except for the nougat is now vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, come on.
They designed it like architecturally the same as a Snickers.
Yeah, have you always liked Snickers, but no one in the world, including you, likes nougat? Well, welcome to the world of vanilla ice cream, melting in your mouth with each chocolatey bite. Snickers.
It is satisfying. And then this version is cold.
Oh, man.
But my answer would be fudgesicle. Sure. I think just if I had to do the quick thing. But yeah. Really, the truth of it is, because the ice cream man that was in our friend's neighborhood, because the ice cream man never came out as far as the neighborhood we lived in, ever. So it only happened when we were at a friend's house. And that ice cream man had those real long red ropes. Remember the licorice ropes that were feet long?
Yeah.
He sold all kind of candy as well as ice cream. So if I actually had, like, you know, a dollar and could get whatever I wanted from within the one ice cream truck I'm thinking of, I would have gotten just regular old candy.
Oh, so he had like a dry area.
Yes, it wasn't all cream-based treats.
That only in Petaluma.
Right? We had it all. It was a fantasy world. I had no idea how good I had it. Okay.
If you want to view
paradise, drive up to Petaluma. They have all the longest licorice.
There's nothing tuna. Tuna. There's nothing tuna. They promised that.
Chris won't stop talking about tuna.
I can't stop. I got tuna fever. Seriously, I'm hot.
Hot tuna fever.
Oh, when will it stop?
I'm breaking a sweat. I have hot tuna fever.
Okay, question two.
From RMVDER, what's the biggest earthquake you've experienced?
Oh.
Good question.
Funnily enough, it was in Montana, or that was the first one I remember, but I do recall all of the cupboards, like my cupboards hung down from the ceiling.
Yeah.
In my childhood home, and they were waving in a way that I didn't know wood could bend.
Ooh.
And we have all these earthquakes now in Los Angeles, of course, in Los Angeles, and people are like, did you feel the 7.2? And I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if I'm just always in my car.
Yeah.
But nothing will stand out more than that earthquake in the, I think, late 80s in Missoula, Montana. If someone lives there, they might remember. It was a big one.
That's crazy. Like,
people talked about it. But there's no fault line.
Right. That's really scary because it doesn't happen there. Like, that's like a tornado happening in California you wouldn't be prepared.
I didn't want it to happen there, knowing what I know about plate tectonics. Yellowstone Park essentially is a giant flat volcano.
Yeah, and you don't, ready to go.
You don't want to poke that with a stick. You also don't want to jump off after your dog if your dog jumps into one of those
calderas.
Yeah, caldera. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm obsessed with them. Because there's one that's about to go. They're like, there's this one that when it goes, it's over for everybody.
You know what? If that's how we go, I talk about this a lot, but you know, the way things are going right now, if it's a caldera, ugh.
Oh, let it be a caldera.
Just a wave pouring on me with houses, neighbors' houses landing on me. I'd be like, oh, thank God it's just this.
Yeah. As opposed to what we all fear every GD day of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. And we know the rock's going to sweep in and save us.
I guess the biggest earthquake I've been in, aside from that film, that great film, was it Fault Line?
I think so.
Or something like that.
San Andreas, thank you.
I was like the back half.
Everyone dies except the Rock and his family.
That's right.
Yeah, people won't mind.
Yeah, okay.
I died and I saw my neighborhood. I know I'm dead in this movie.
Well, too bad. And The Rock lives and so do other beautiful people with insane proportions.
I still look for my name in the credits.
I get nervous during that movie because The Rock goes to save his daughter, who is so... she's the girl from the first season of True Detective that has the affair with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, wow.
She is a technically... super hot gal.
She's very naked in that movie, I seem to sort of recall.
Right, in the corner of your mind. In San Andreas, when The Rock goes to rescue her, I'm like, they're going to get together, and that's gross.
Yeah.
Like, I was nervous about it.
Except I think he's a focused asexual man. I think he just
that's
has it
slander.
Together. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, a focused asexual.
You don't wear a black fanny pack and a black turtleneck together.
Ooh, I love that picture of him.
Yeah, well, that's because it's non-threatening for everyone.
For everyone.
Except for theater majors.
Who's like, he's going to get the part instead of me.
Look at that unshakable confidence.
It's a triple threat. Turtleneck, fanny pack, pleated jeans. He had it all in that picture. So here's my great story of being a native Californian. For the big earthquake, the big one that happened in 1989, mm-hmm. I was in Sacramento. So it happened in San Francisco.
That's the one where the Bay Bridge collapsed on itself. Yeah.
Yep. And my father was still a working San Francisco fireman, and Petaluma felt it, but they felt it much, much smaller, obviously, than in the city. He was a working San Francisco fireman, and then everybody called him and was like, are you going to go into the city? Or are you going to go help? And my dad kept going, no, I'll wait till they call me. Yeah. My dad did not do the thing that everyone talks about firemen doing in horrible situations. We're like, and then everyone was on duty and everybody showed up and pitched in. My dad was like, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see what they say. He was just like, I'm not going in there.
Well, so anyway, the firemen should be paid more.
They're really suffering, those unionized firemen. But I was in Sacramento for that one. So that only was like a weird wave feeling because Sacramento is 2 hours away and it was like way out of the zone. Then I lived in San Francisco. I hadn't yet moved to LA for the 94 earthquake, the big one in LA. I moved there a month later. So basically and then I was in Hawaii for this last one in LA that was very recently, that was 7.1.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
I was in Hawaii. So I've missed all the ones I'm supposed to have hit.
Wow. You're just saving up for the big one, huh?
I'm saving it for the caldera, baby. I'll show up for that. I'll be right on the rim.
Just a baby that rises from the boiling waters of a caldera.
The lava baby will save me.
With his soft little hands.
Okay, next question.
Okay. At SuperBonBon88 says, growing up, what celebrity posters did you have on your bedroom wall?
Great question. Amazing question.
Yeah, it's funny because I always tell people this. I had walls dedicated to different skateboarders. My sister had Duran Duran walls, and she had one for John,
Taylor, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I had one just dedicated to Jason Lee. Everyone knows him as the actor or the guy from My Name is Earl, but he was one of the more innovative street skaters. Today's his birthday, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a super fan.
Yeah, I am a dork. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's everyone on Instagram is commending his history. He still owns a skate company.
Cool.
He's kind of gone back to that world. But I, you know, when he's in Mallrats and everything, I was like, how is this happening? How is this skateboarder suddenly this actor person? That had never happened.
I feel like I can answer.
Yes.
He was and is just an absolutely beautiful man.
Oh,
so,
really?
Aside from being, I mean, in my opinion,
yeah.
Aside from being talented, so obviously he's like a good, you know, athlete, skateboarder guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he's put together really nicely.
That's so funny, because I just remember him from skate videos, and his hair seemed unwashed and like he was smelly. Like he was one of the dirtier skaters.
Yeah, dirty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, I agree now that he's a handsome guy.
He's a very handsome man. He's really nicely assembled. Wow. I had on my walls a poster of The Outsiders.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because in the height of my poster time, Duran Duran, because I'm the same age as your sister.
Sure, sure.
So I also had Duran Duran that I had ripped out of Teen Beat or Tiger Beat magazine.
Sure, sure.
So they weren't really posters, they were pages of a magazine.
And mine, yes, of course. They're all from Thrasher magazine. It was just paper and stapled it to the wall.
Yeah, put some scotch tape up there, rip the paint down later. But I had The Outsiders. Then I had a super cool arty poster of James Dean, which was a strange early mid 80s trend of all of a sudden 50s stuff got re-popular.
Sure.
So James Dean for some reason was a cool poster and I had it. Like,
was he frowning?
It was basically an artist rendition of him from Rebel Without a Cause where his brow is furrowed and he's like looking off and smoking.
He's supposed to be the coolest guy ever, but it seems like in every photo, he's loitering and he's not going into the cafe. He's just smoking outside with his Porsche parked diagonally in a spot. Like, when are you going to learn to drive that thing? And then, of course.
And then, ironically, he never did.
Well, you know.
So that's, I think, those were my big, please let me put this up, mom, and my mom going, no, take that down.
Yeah.
The war, the forever war. Also one time, I think one of the first posters I ever put up, what's that? Hopefully just a bag.
Oh, please, not a shiny cat. sorry, Stephen. Sorry. It was a bag. It was a bag.
Pain.
It was a bag.
It was not in no way a cat.
Now Stephen's going to walk away with a limp.
No. One of the first posters I ever put up from Tiger Beat magazine was Sean Cassidy, who was just the king of entertainment when I was like 7 years old. He was in the Hardy Boys TV show.
Sure.
With Parker Stevenson. And then he also then released an album.
Parker Stevenson's the blonde guy?
Parker Stevenson, he was later married to Kirstie Alley in the 80s.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And he, of the two, he was the older Hardy Boy and Sean Cassidy was the younger.
Sure. Always trying to solve what had happened in a lighthouse.
Exactly. Yeah. Every single week, and yet I had to tune in. But then he recorded this album and he's a really good singer. And so then we loved him even more for more reasons and were more freaked out. And I remember one time my poster fell off the wall, like the tape failed or whatever. And so my mom was sweeping my room because I had linoleum. And she started jokingly sweeping up the poster of Sean Cassidy. And she goes, let me get rid of this hairless boy for you.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Which I thought was gross because I'm like, ew, what do you mean? What, they get hair on them?
Yeah, like, Eric's your mom suggesting you should have started to get into hairy men at that point?
Yes.
He doesn't even have a single back hair.
This man is in no way a bear. Yeah. And she didn't like it. Anyway.
I only want my daughter seeing a full-grown brawny paper towel man.
She had her tastes.
Yeah.
And I had mine.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
All right. From Kylie Danger Y'all asks, what are the worst what are the worst weather conditions y'all have driven in?
I mean, I think back to growing up in Montana, we would drive to ski areas with snowboards bungee corded to the top of the car. One time the hood flew open, on one of my friend's shitty cars, and bent over the snowboards and we still strapped it down, and we couldn't see. We spun and landed in a snowbank. Everyone had two-wheel drive cars. Like, we all had $400 used cars.
Yeah.
And I would drive in the most ice trucker, legit scary mountain passes going through Idaho or through Washington in my teenage years. Wow. See, parents, I'm going on a road trip on these icy roads. And they knew we'd be fine.
Yeah.
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 All the time. Yeah, nothing bad ever happened.
Thank God.
Yeah.
My worst one was living in San Francisco. I had my dad's Volkswagen that he let me use, that I like to call mine, but he would constantly remind me it was his. And so it was a 71 Bug. And
great,
I was
in the snow.
In the rain in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I one time was downtown trying to get home, and I was by myself in this fucking stick. And I was on this hill that's, I think it was Scott Street. I can't remember which street exactly, but it was basically right up the hill from, it was where the San Francisco Academy of Art is.
The
Art Institute. So it's right up the street from Union Square. And so basically, if you're in Union Square in San Francisco, it's relatively flat, but if you go, I think it would be...
Is it steep like Lombard?
Northwest. Yes. It's this one of the steeper streets that it also has cable car tracks on it. Was on the street. It starts pouring rain, and I realize when the light turns green, I am on like a 45 degree hill or more.
Immediately behind you.
Yes. No, the car was smart enough, thank fucking God, to stop at the bottom of the hill. So when I went up and then the light turned red, they were three car lengths behind me.
Right.
And when the light turned green, I had the emergency brake on. My dad had taught me all of this.
No, but it's still hard to do that.
I had to ease the brake down and then do the clutch gas.
Yeah.
And spun in the rain on the cable car tracks until I could get the traction to go forward. And if there was a car directly behind me, I would have hit it repeatedly. Yeah. It was one of the scariest things I've ever had to do. And then I did it and got away with it.
Yeah, but yeah.
So it was pretty intense.
Yeah, neither of us have ever, we've defeated those roads.
We have. I've also been in many car accidents caused by my own bad driving.
You're a great driver. Thanks. Surprises me.
Thank you, Yo-Yo. Yeah, in my early days, I really couldn't wait to rear end somebody.
Oh, you were drunk.
That's true. No DUIs, though. Thank fucking God.
Yeah, me either.
Jesus, me either. God bless it.
Yes.
Okay, next question. Have you ever gotten any DUIs? No!
From Karen Page Collin asks, Karen Page Collin says, favorite Christmas movie and why?
Ooh. Well, I'm going to be boring, and because it's a tradition, we still sit down and watch. We watch It's a Wonderful Life and we watch A Christmas Story.
Both great.
There are other ones out there, but the one that no one has watched that I just love is called One Magic Christmas, and it has Mary Steenburgen in it.
Oh.
And who's the guy that he passed away a couple years ago, and he was kind of a folk singer, and he is a very gaunt face, very tall.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
He's the Christmas angel in it, and he was always kind of creepy in a way that later I watch it and I'm like, he's not creepy at all. What was I worried about? But it is a Christmas movie where it's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life, where she loses everything and sees what life would be without her kids. But her kids and husband die in this. I'm going to
spoiler alert.
They launch off a bridge into icy water, and she's sitting. It's a Disney movie.
No.
Yeah, and back when they weren't, making Star Wars and all this other scandalous, sinful shit, and making you buy a new TV to watch it or whatever the hell people
are
doing.
Sinful shit. God, that guy's hauling ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at his legs. He's a specimen, huh?
Wow.
It's too early for that sweater, though.
It really is.
The same one. That's a horse cardigan, and it's a beauty.
It really is nice. Actually,
can we talk to that guy? I want to borrow that.
Uh-huh.
I can use a triple X in a horse sweater. But yeah, it's a very grim story, but then it has an amazing payoff. I really think One Magic Christmas is great, but it doesn't hold up. You watch it and you're like, what? No, you will be yelling at the TV. Am I really running this hot? Your window's clear, and my side, it's like a transition lens.
Yeah. That's you. It's your breath. It's all your hot air.
Okay. No, Karen, no. Do I have bad breath?
No, not
seriously.
I've never smelled bad breath on
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you.
I pride not myself. In all the years.
I'm a flosser, and I'm a swasher. And I'm a swisher. Sweet. Cigar smoker. It's not helping.
Okay, off of that recommendation, I'm just going to say, and I may have said this before on this show. I almost said on this fucking show, but for no reason. There is a movie called Dead of Winter starring, I believe, and I'm 99% positive, it's starring Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, wow.
And it is one of the creepiest, scariest movies that's so good, so crazy, very satisfying. If you like movies like that, Dead of Winter, it's from the late 80s, late 80s.
I gotta see it.
And it is a very crazy, disturbing, good thriller movie.
I love that. There was a movie called Black Christmas, which surprisingly is made by the guy who made A Christmas Story, that Bob, I forget his name, the sweetest movie ever about, you know, only good thing, the Black Christmas. And there's a new one, and I don't know if it's based on the old one, but I love scary Christmas movies. It's like,
oh, sorry, mine is not scary. I mean, mine's not a Christmas movie.
Okay.
I was just recommending it because it was Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, okay. I thought Dead of Winter just reeks of being
well,
scary.
Well, actually, maybe it...
It downright
could, it could
of
be.
It is Mary Steenburgen. Is it a Christmas movie? I can't tell.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, a fledgling actress is lured to a remote mansion for a screen test. Soon discovering she's actually...
Don't.
I won't spoil it.
Because that's the beauty of this movie, is you will be so shocked when you see what happens in this movie. It's really good. But I love Mary Steenburgen. My Christmas movie recommendation, the first movie that came to mind, even though we absolutely watch and rewatch Christmas Story every year.
Of course, you have to.
You just have to. It's what families do when they don't know what else to do with themselves.
Plus, it's nonstop scrolling on TBS.
Yes, it's just there for you.
Yes.
The first movie that came to mind, so I have to say it, is The Family Stone, which is a kind of charming but also kind of obnoxious family Christmas movie. But there's, first of all, Rachel McAdams is in it, who truly is one of my favorite actresses. That surprised me, because normally a woman that pretty that's an actress I would write off or want to, but she is so good and compelling to watch on TV in everything I see her in. But The Family Stone, okay, there's this thing where basically it's this family, the Stones, and it's there, everyone's coming home for Christmas, all the adult children, and Luke Wilson plays kind of the fuck up brother, and the older brother, Dermot Mulroney, his girlfriend, Sarah Jessica Parker, comes home for Christmas with him. And then Luke Wilson decides he's in love with her. And it's one of the most charming, realistic seeming, like, thing where what it's about is, like, actual love doesn't work like, oh, you guys both work in banking, so you're gonna have this successful life together. Like, it's not usually about people being the same or coming from the same area. It's like about chemistry and people striking other people as like, oh my God, I kind of love that person. And it's all like follows that feel. And I adore it.
Oh, wow. I've never seen it. I'll watch it this year. It's time to introduce something new to the Fairbanks household.
Yeah, give it a try. But it's also corny, and there's parts of it that are kind of embarrassing, but I really like it.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Follow up to these Christmas question. The April Society asks, did you believe in Santa Claus, and what made you stop?
I'm embarrassingly believed in Santa Claus till I was in my maybe 13.
Yeah.
because my sister played along and she never lied to me except with this. And she would play along, she's 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
And I would stay in her bed on Christmas Eve and we would get so, she would at least pretend to be excited with me in a way where it just took it in. All my other friends were, there's no Santa and they're smoking cigarettes. And I was just like, oh, that's what you guys think. Because my sister, even though she knew at that point it was the guy that my dad did radio with, she had seen Santa Claus and she would tell me that story. Like meanwhile, there's no talk of Jesus or anything. There's never a mention.
Secular Christmas.
But my dad always, for someone that wasn't religious, man, he got us into Christmas and my sister backed it up. And I really thought Santa Claus was a guy. And then he'd do things where, I think there's something in the attic. I've talked about that, where he'd come down. He's left something up there. There was tangible evidence.
Sure.
I never, saw, Jesus's blood on the floor or whatever people, I don't know what they did in those houses to make people believe. It's not just the Bible, right? You have to have forensic evidence.
The blood on the floor.
Oh, yeah. What? Hey, if Jesus came and took a bite out of a fucking cookie once, maybe I would have, I'd be living a different life.
It was baby Jesus, though. Baby. He's not, there's blood doesn't come into it till the
He's still
the death.
Celebrating his birthday.
With blood. With droplets of blood.
Yes, you eat his blood, you drink his blood. You drink it and you eat it. That's what it's about.
Okay, so basically my short answer is I put together that Santa and my mom had the same handwriting, because on all the little tags it would say to Karen from Santa, but I was like, but that is my mother's writing if I've ever seen any. And so I was actually very embittered by the idea that there was this lying thing. And then my sister, so when my niece was little and, of course, because the way people parent these days, it's like, no lie is big enough for my child. So it's like Elf on the Shelf and there's all these things and all these elements or whatever. And I finally said to my sister, I do not want to lie to her about, like, I want to give her gifts. I want there to be good times in the family, but I can't sit there and talk to my now fully formed human being of a niece and continue the lie while she's going, Auntie Karen, the Elf on the Shelf moved and did this and did that. And I was just like, Laura. And then my sister said, I have a plan. When some kid ruins this for her, I have the plan.
Yeah.
Which is a letter that she had been recommending to parents and giving to kids and whatever.
Oh, a transition letter?
She's being a kindergarten teacher, first grade teacher. She was there for a lot of kids when they were like, wait a second, is this not real? And that's when she hits them with, it is real, because it's human beings trying to be nice to each other, and that's what it's all about. And you get to protect it for other little kids.
Yeah.
And you get to be the one that tells kids it is real, because it is real, because those presents are there and people are good to each other and human goodness exists.
Yeah, yeah. And I think my sister was there doing that.
Yes, of course. She wanted you to have the good feelings she had for as long as you could.
Yeah.
So it isn't about, people don't want to lie.
She knew how prone I was to anger.
Yeah. She knew you would beat her senseless.
Keep this little monster happy. I have to sleep next to him. Just on Christmas Eve.
But I also think that's what happens with little kids. I was the youngest too. And when you, like, we spent so much time with our older cousins. They fuck with you. They fuck with you. And then they also, like, lie to you for your benefit.
Yeah.
In ways where, that's what I got hip to it very early, because I was always like, someone's either lying or they're gonna like prank me somehow. Yeah. So I have to get ahead of these teens always.
Yeah, I think that it's just important for a kid to believe in magic or something that they're gonna lose when they're an adult. Keep that going.
Yes, because also that magic is real. The magic is human beings giving a shit about each other.
Right.
Truly, at the end of the day.
That sounds like it's straight at the end of the Rachel McAdams movie.
I just think of all the kids, the unsupervised children who did believe in Santa Claus until this episode of this piece of shit podcast.
Oh no, don't let your kids listen. Plus we say fuck a lot.
Yeah, don't. Leave them out of it. Okay.
From Buttercup Randy, at Buttercup Randy.
My favorite wrestler.
My little Buttercup Randy, sweet little Buttercup Randy.
They ask, what's something you loved to eat as a kid that you wouldn't touch now?
Well, Buttercup Randy's. I ate them by the handful.
Oh, the rappers were so loud.
As a kid, what did I... I was deep in the frozen burrito game. Just as a latchkey kid, you come home, there's a couple hours where you just party and you watch DuckTales and you eat multiple frozen burritos, even though you're only supposed to have one. And, I starve in the whole day.
Yeah.
Yeah, just. Oh, and I still, that's my gross indulgences, or whatever the word.
Indulgence, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just go to 7-Eleven and I'll sometimes get the grossest lard-infused... The grosser, the better. Bean and cheese burrito.
Hell yes.
Yeah, I want one now.
Yeah, me and Steven got him one time from Trader Joe's. He was going down, and then I was like, please get me one, I'm starving. And when we had them, I was like, wait a second, I need to have these all the time.
Yeah.
So then I made them pick some up the next time we did like office supply run, and then I haven't eaten one since. I was like, oh, that was a real time and place.
Evening
Stephen and I were starving in the office because I was like, now that I have my choice, I don't would not be
much pick. Like the Christmas spirit, you want it to keep it special.
And
that was
it.
My early cooking too, is like modifying those, I'd heat to do some of the cooking of course in the microwave, but then you gotta crisp it up.
Yeah.
And you bring out one of mom's pans and just put some oil in there. And man, I'm getting hungry.
I know, I'm kind of hungry. I guess my answer would be, and this isn't a choice or whatever, because I eat almost exactly the same way I ate as an abandoned 7-year-old, sitting on the couch panicking and starving and lonely, just eating sourdough toast like it was my job. But it's funny to me that in recent years, like, Doritos used to rule my life. I thought about them constantly. I think I definitely have a serious... No, I'm hiccuping. Sorry.
It's not being edited out. That is not being edited out. That is a perfect burp.
Something just happened. I don't know what it is.
Are you okay? Is it happening? Do I need to grab the wheel?
It's not happening anymore, but like that was, I couldn't figure out if I was going to hiccup or like if I was stopped breathing, and then it was just this weird burp.
We have to get cameras in here before you spend the steering wheel vomit episode on just audio.
What a ruined time that will be.
Oh, man.
I'm just surprised at how, what I was saying is, I think I've always had a passion for the chemicals that go into processed food. I think they affect me stronger than the average person. I think it, like, the second I eat them, I crave them.
Yeah.
It's same thing with fast food. Maybe I'm just average and other people have self-control or whatever, but there used to be a time where I was powerless to the pull of Doritos.
Yeah.
And so lately there's been times where I've just been kind of like bored at 7-Eleven and like, I could have anything I want. What do I want?
Yeah.
And looking at those bags and having absolutely no interest in Doritos anymore is the weirdest feeling.
Right.
But it's not, it's less, I feel like the wording of that question was kind of like, you wouldn't touch it. Like, it's so disgusting. I'm not disgusted by them. It's just that for some reason, I probably had 300,000 of them, so my system is like, yeah, we're done. We know what that is.
It's just like anything or sex or whatever. When you discover it late, like in my house, there were not Doritos, and in that time, there were not Flaming Hot Fritos.
Yeah,
but oh my god, Flaming Hot Fritos, turns out they're pretty damn great.
Yes,
and maybe that's because I lived in Texas, where one of the local cuisines is pouring chili on Fritos.
Yes.
I'm like, really? We just don't give a fuck here?
Yeah.
All right.
It's taken care of. You get to have that for dinner.
Yeah, Texas got me into Fritos, and now I'm like, I might as well drink Dr. Pepper and go all the way.
I love fucking Fritos, but I can only eat, because I think they're so satisfying, because they put triple the amount of salt on Fritos that they put on any other chip.
Yeah.
It's like a condensed corn salt experience.
Yeah, I'm a salty-tongued man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah. All right, I think we did it. We did that.
Yeah, we did that. We did it good. Well, now I'm burp vomiting.
Yeah, right? Now you have it. Oh, man. It's like half yawn, half burp, half hiccup. It's the weirdest.
I'm tired and nauseous.
And hungry.
All right. At AnnieGag1, if you could only have one of these powers, if you could only have one of these powers, would you pick dancing really well, always have the perfect comeback, or being able to find a clean bathroom whenever you need one?
Oh, the perfect comeback.
I already have all those powers. Yes. I have every single one of them.
Yes, you travel with a lot of bleach.
I only go to Starbucks bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Been working on the comeback thing for quite some time.
Yeah.
And then the dance thing I was born with.
Yeah, I wish that I was a person that later was like, I should have said this, because I'm a person that's like, I should not have said that. I should not have blurted that out just because it's in my head.
Yes.
Who do I think I am?
Yes.
I never leave thinking, oh, this would have got them. No, I've been getting them. And guess what? It feels bad hurt people's feelings.
It feels really bad to hurt people's
feelings. Even when they
deserve
it, it really doesn't feel great.
It lessens you.
I'm really good at hurting you.
Yeah. I've said to people many times, you don't want this. You don't do this. You don't want this. I will, as my friend Alicia Gonzalez used to say, who's way fucking funnier than me, don't make me make you cry. And that is, I've had that, because also for a long time, especially in my teens and 20s, I literally couldn't control what came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
If you like triggered me in a certain emotional way, the mouth would go and I would just be following along behind it.
Right.
To devastation of many.
Yeah. And you think you want it.
You think you want it, but yeah. I will figure out the perfect metaphor where you will never stop thinking about the thing I criticize you on for the rest of your life.
Yeah. There are people, random drunk monster people, that have taken swings at me, and I've said things that hurt them to the core, and I still feel bad about it. And I'll be walking in the middle of the day smelling flowers, and then all of a sudden I flinch, and there's an audible exhale, and I feel bad. What I said to Jake Solomon of the Solomon Brothers, one of them broke my nose. You'd think that I would... Whatever.
But that's just, it is, it's one thing to incur the hurt. It's so ironic. It hurts more to intentionally hurt other people. It really does. And there's been things I've said casually of like, what? For a long time, I was always like, people don't get me. And it's like, no, they get you. They don't like it. They don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, they don't like this ability that you think is so charming and kind of like, funny and off the cuff. It's not.
Yeah. I still want to have the best comeback, because there are perfect ones where it's like, oh, there was a levels of kindness and irony, and the delivery of that was benign, and the point was made, and I'm not angry. Like, the perfect comeback doesn't have to be where you hurt someone all the time. That's what makes it perfect. It's like, makes them think. And then they change their mind about who they're going to be for the rest of their life.
Yes.
That's the perfect comeback.
It doesn't need to be a slam. It's like a permanent readjustment of who they are as people.
Yeah, yeah. No, every once in a while, I'll have a comeback and it's like, what am I, a yoga master? Why did I just make that guy feel sensitive? Oh, God, I wish that comedy.
I like those ones. The best, I think, the best is a lady was yelling at me about throwing a bag of dog shit into a garbage can in my neighborhood.
What's her problem?
Where I was like, that's what garbage cans are for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was doing this thing like I was this interloper from outside the neighborhood. It was a rich neighborhood, so I was like, fuck you, lady. I'm as rich as you are. But what I ended up doing was letting her yell, and then I just stared at her and I said, I think you're mad about something else.
Oh, yes, that's a good one.
Which is, it's so mean in its abject dismissal of, basically, basically, I see that you're a damaged old gal.
Yeah, yeah.
Is basically what I said to her. Because she hurt my feelings by saying, I don't think you're rich enough to live here. And I was that's just because I don't brush my hair.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm ignoring the fanciest of brushes, my lady.
Every brush in my house is boar bristle.
Boar bristle and unused.
And imported.
You'll never see them. They're still in the wrapper.
I'm going to throw two away in your name tonight.
Because your father was mean to you.
Okay, should we do...
I think a couple more will be
right?
Good.
This has been quite an episode.
It's fun.
We've almost thrown up.
Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot. I really have learned a lot from that last one.
Yeah, that was...
I really got to not...
That was kind of fun.
Hurt people.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
That's our new thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not, we're not, you know, it's, but being nice, you know, it's a ticking time bomb.
We grew up in a culture where, which is of comedy, where being able to have the best, meanest comeback was always only a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. And then that all changed in 2003 with the advent of the internet, and all of a sudden everyone was everyone else's best friends.
Right.
And it wasn't cool to say the meanest thing that you could to other people. And we had to make this adjustment. So it's been a tornado of feelings inside of us this whole time.
And it's why I've avoided all the roasting people, the roast battles, all these things that are part of comedy. It's a genre comedy. I've avoided them.
Yeah.
Because I know, I don't think anyone's going to be laughing when I actually hurt the other comic's feelings.
No.
Or Bob Saget or whoever's the guest that night.
Oh, I do have to say, though, I have ghost written a couple times for people that were in roast battle, which is such a hard thing to do. And only,
if you don't know the person, yeah.
Yeah, I have, well, you know what it is I've only helped when it was people I didn't like.
Right.
So the person that would be doing it, they'd be like, hey, can you help me with some jokes for this? And I'd be like, who are you roasting? And then they name the person. I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll be there with bells on.
Yeah, I think the rule is it should be someone that you either respect or know or like, and then your jokes are going to be more clever.
Yeah.
At Laurie Met, if the car gets a flat during the podcast, who's changing the tire?
I will.
Would you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Super.
And I will make you time me.
Will you put all the bolts into the hubcap and then...
Only if you yell fudge.
Fudge. I do have AAA, and I just re-signed up for it because AAA is a thing that I get and then let expire. It basically is, you can do a little graph of when I have money and when I don't. Mm-hmm. And it's just based on if I belong to AAA or not.
Right.
At the time. And this last time.
Because it's year by year, yeah.
Yeah, it's year by year. So it's like, nope, we're not flush enough to have AAA this year.
Yeah.
Well, I signed up for it again because I was like, I'm in the clear. I can have AAA.
Yeah.
And then someone goes, yeah, but don't you automatically have that with the car that you bought? And I'm like,
Yep, I do.
Sure do.
Yeah.
No,
I have it with my insurance.
Yeah. You can change the tire people change the tire.
I've grown up with shitty cars, and I've used a jack so many times that, you know, I think that I'm good at changing a tire into a spare. If the spare is flat, however, let's call AAA.
Great.
Sometimes they get flat.
Okay, then we'll keep it as a backup.
Perfect. Yes, yes. Okay. But use me first.
The answer is Chris.
All right.
Do you think you have one more?
Yeah, I've got... I'm trying to think. Mellow Michaela, if you could use only one condiment for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Not mayonnaise.
Yeah, me either. I'm a mustard man. I always have been. And I almost put mayonnaise in the same category as ketchup. However, when you mix them, something happens to me.
And that's called you travel to the Thousand Islands?
Yeah. Oh, God. Maybe I just need to take more leisurely plane trips. Then I won't have to eat this horrible secret sauce that's no secret to anyone.
I think I have to go with ketchup because it's so crucial to French fries.
Yeah.
And hamburgers.
You know what? I have my hamburgers and my French fries with mustard. And I...
Really?
People look at me weird. My sister and I when we'd go to a pizza place, and she would make me ask for mustard, like, pretend you're younger than you are and ask for mustard. I'm embarrassed. Because if you put it on the remaining crust, suddenly you're in a soft pretzel situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mustard does a lot of good things for a lot of bready Easton Ellis's.
Bready Easton Ellis. Get with it.
Yeah, mustard. My choice is mustard.
Okay.
That salsa's great, too.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
All right, I'll piggyback off of this one. At Mankiss says, what are your favorite types of, or least favorite types of potatoes? Fries, mashed potatoes, au gratin, etc.
This is where the Q&A turns very self-indulgent. We're just like, what do I like in this specific subset of food?
Well, man kisses. I think that, yeah, you go ahead. I'm not a big potato guy. I've never grew up in a famine.
First of all, offensive. Secondly, I'll take many types of potatoes, except those fucking red-skinned ones. I do not like a red-skinned potato in any part of my life.
Does that mean sweet potato fries?
No. Sweet potatoes are like kind of a different thing. I mean the, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way to describe them.
Yeah, not russet.
A brown skin potato, but a red. It's thin, it's gross. They're basically the corned beef and cabbage potatoes, and they're gross.
Yeah, yeah, speaking of famine.
So I think, of course, like McDonald's french fries are primo potato, but I love, admire, and respect a twice-baked potato.
Sure.
Have you ever had one of those at like a family holiday?
Oh, yeah.
They're the greatest invention.
Yeah.
Because it's just your potato filled with crap that you shouldn't probably be eating.
Yeah, and it's then delicious. And then put back in for another baking process.
Yeah.
Like, we did this to it, now we're going to do this. That's what I try and do with my frozen burritos. Time for phase two. Crispy.
You fold in some sour cream.
Yeah, well, a lot of people won't do it because they're sealed up already. I'll open up that fucker and get it super, super specific.
And did you buy a Taco Bell sour cream shooter and then just shove it right in there? Done?
You mean a Guac 9?
Oh my God, we've done it. We've buttoned this podcast perfectly. A Guac 9.
It's a line of mine. I told it to Matt Bronger, and he used it he had a perfect Taco Bell joke. So anyway, if someone's like, that's a Bronger joke, we both.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how so much comedy gets made, situations like that. And so many people who don't do comedy don't know that. I had,
hey, we thought of this, who's using it?
Yeah, or comics watching other comics do sets and then going, hey, you know what a great tag of this would be? And the comic goes, thank you so much. This is awesome. And then later on, you know.
Or like Pete Holmes gave suddenly $400 in my Venmo. He's like, hey, that's what you told me after my set is working great. Here's some money.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, it's like a bite out of a cookie.
That's pretty nice. And
Jesus's teeth.
His blood's on the ground. What are you talking about? It's Christmas. He's a tiny baby.
It's the only way I can get my kids to go to church. Sprinkle it. Sprinkle the blood.
We have to go to church, so when we come back, the blood will be on the ground.
Mother, this is wine. You've spilled it again.
Mother. Another great Q&A sesh.
God, that was one of our better sessions.
Guys,
acoustic.
When you guys show up for our acoustic sets, mm-hmm. and give your questions, that means we don't have a book a guest, and that's so much less work on our part than has
like
to get done.
You're like the best roadies.
Thank you so much
from both of us,
and thank you to Stephen for getting collecting up all those Q&A
questions. You, Stephen, for selecting the best questions. We're sorry if you sent a question when we didn't answer it. It's because we
of
didn't.
Stephen.
It's because of Stephen. No. He's the selector. If you have a bone to pick,
take it at Stephen Ray Katz Morris on all social media.
There's no Ray Katz.
Right? Seems realistic. Yeah, it seems realistic, but I just gave everyone the slip. Yeah.
Oh, that was enjoyable. Enjoy your tour. You'll be in the middle of it when this airs.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I will. I am in Europe presently, if you're listening to this, and having the foggiest time.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
And I'll be in my living room with a smoke machine.
Nice.
Because I don't travel. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N.
A-R. After Hours.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.